Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So if you have a Bible, open with me today to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be walking through the book of Acts this entire year, or this entire summer. We're going to walk through the book of Acts, and the name of the sermon series is Called Out. Can I go geek on you for a second? Y'all let me go geek today? I got a couple of you said it's all right, so there we go. What is the called out? It comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is ekklesia. And it's actually two words combined together. Ek means out, and kaleo is the root word of klesia. And kaleo means to yell at somebody, hey, you! So call out means literally to yell at someone to bring them out of where they're at to where you want them to be. All right? Everybody understand that? But what you don't understand about the word is how it was used in antiquity. So what in Rome, when the church was formed, Rome was the power broker of the world. And they were the most powerful country in the world and probably one of the most powerful empires that have ever existed. And here Rome is, this incredible powerhouse, but only a few people were citizens of the Roman Empire. Not everybody was a citizen. 80% of the people who lived in Rome were slaves. In the Roman world were slaves, 80%. That means there were only about 10%, 5 to 10% of the people that were actually Roman citizens. So what it was in all of this mass of people, when a decision needed to be made for Rome, there would be an ecclesia or a calling out of the people in the area to come to a meeting. And at that meeting, the decisions for Rome would be made by the handful that had the power. Does everybody understand that? It was an ecclesia. It was a calling out of the Roman citizens out of everybody else to make decisions for Rome. And the church, When they decided to use a name to talk about who they were, they took the word away from Rome. And now the citizens of Rome were secondary because, you see, the citizens of heaven make the decisions that affect our culture. You didn't get that. The ecclesia, the called out ones by God, we are the citizens of heaven that make the decisions that affect our culture. You see, I think we've got a wrong view in this culture. I'm listening to too many people whining about who's going to be elected president this fall. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care who president is of the United States of America. My king sits enthroned above the highest heavens, and he rules all the governments of this earth, and his authority is the authority that changes cultures. And we need to be the called out ones who actually live under his authority and under his power instead of trying to worry so much about who's going to be in a government position. We should worry about who is in the lordship of our hearts and of the world we live in. So I've got a vision for you. Before I get to there, let me for Mother's Day, let me talk to you about a couple of jokes I thought. Why did the monster's mother knit 3 socks for her son? Because she heard he grew a foot. What did Robin, these are your jokes. What did the digital clock say to his mom? Look, mom, no hands. There you go. All right. So the purpose of this sermon series, this called out sermon series, if you will allow me for a second, I've got all these things I want to say, but let me just cut to the chase, all right? Normally, I talk to you about all kinds of stuff, but let me cut to the chase. I have a dream. I have a vision and a dream of what life could be like if we would be the church rather than simply attending a church. I have a dream of what would happen in our hearts and our worlds if we picked up an Acts view of the church and we became like the church of Acts rather than simply reading about the book of Acts. And it was inspired out of this book I read, it's by Bill Hybels, and if you know anything about Bill Hybels, he's changed the face of church in the last 30 years or so, and I read this. He said, there was once a community of believers who were so totally devoted to God that their life together was charged by the Spirit's power. In that band of Christ followers, believers loved each other with a radical kind of love. They took off their masks and shared their lives with one another. They laughed and cried and prayed and sang and served together in authentic Christian fellowship. When I read those words, something in my heart leapt. Something began to jump up in me and said, wouldn't it be great if we could be the church of Jesus Christ? If we were not simply another recapturing of another church where here's the church, here's a steeple, open the door, and all the people are asleep. Wouldn't it be great if we were a church where lives were changed, where we actually got along with one another, and we quit arguing over about our colors of carpet and modes of baptism, and we started actually loving people for who we were, and we actually shared the love of Jesus Christ with such a power and such an authority that the people in our workplace were envious of the lives we had, and our relationships with the people in our worlds were filled with truth and loyalty. Wouldn't it be great if the dads in the church didn't divorce their wives and run off to find some other new hot whatever it was going on? Wouldn't it be great if our kids would grow up to respect authority? Wouldn't it be great if moms would stay loyal and loving and not feel they have to manipulate because they're heard for their voices? Wouldn't it be great if we didn't live in debt so much that we couldn't afford to pay attention? Come on, wouldn't it be great if you weren't still paying for that food you ate last month? Wouldn't it be great if we actually honored sexuality in our culture as Jesus told us to? Wouldn't it be great if instead of driving the car and then paying for it later, we actually paid for the car before we drove it? I was talking about cars, literally there. Some of you are paying on something you owe more than it's worth. And you're driving it around and I'm thinking to yourself, you're being stupid. But you got a world. What happens is we, the local church in America, have bought the lies of the culture that have shoved down our throats that you got to sleep with her before you get married to make sure you're compatible. And I tell you, that's a load of crap. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't lay a finger on this girl before I married her, and I knew there would always be wonderful things in my household because this woman loved me, not what I could do for her. And I loved her, not how she made me feel. So when tough times come, we stuck it out. And my kids will grow up knowing the same daddy their entire life because the Church of Jesus Christ demands a higher than this culture. Wouldn't it be great if mom and dad actually stuck together 50, 60 years and could leave a legacy of financial prosperity to the next generation because they didn't have three divorces that ate all their money? Come on, people. I know I'm preaching. I just went straight to preach. I just skipped all the other stuff. Come on, normally I talk to you, but I think there's a dream. Wouldn't it be great if young girls actually grew up understanding that they were special in God's sight and they didn't have to do stupid stuff to get attention? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if young men didn't think it was how much girls they could put in bed and how tough they walk? Instead, it was the character of their heart that made them special? Come on. This is what I dream of because the Church of Jesus Christ is called out. And if one little community would do the work of living the character and the quality of Jesus Christ, they could change the entire world. You don't believe me, do you? Acts chapter 2, how many people? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all know how many people were in the upper room that day? Does anybody know? How many? 120. We have almost four times that amount show up here every week. Actually, we do have four times that amount show up here every week. 120 people in an upper room. 120 people had an incredible life change. And they, within 300 years, the greatest, strongest empire that had ever been on the earth crumbled under the power of what happened in an upper room 300 years earlier with 120 people. Don't you tell me your life is insignificant. Because if fathers actually love their children and love their mamas, and if fathers would actually raise their kids to follow Jesus Christ rather than to follow all the cultural things of this world, we would see a change in the next generation. And I'm going to tell you something. Those are the kids that are going to be the bosses. It ain't going to be the one that doesn't know who their baby daddy's daddy is that changes the culture. It's going to be the ones that are raised to be secure and strong and thoughtful and will have a foundation from which to move into the future. I'm presenting a different way of viewing the world, people. If you keep living like this culture, you're going to get the same results as this culture, and you look at that. Do you want your kids really not knowing whether they're a fork or a spoon? Seriously, ain't no sporks in this church. We're going to raise you to either be a fork or a spoon, and I love sporks, but I'm just... I do, sporks are cool, but... Y'all get what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be great if we had actually had a culture where people didn't have to wonder about their sexual identity because mom and dad actually raised them to know who they were? Wouldn't that be awesome? And the power of God was flowing. I'm talking about an ecclesia. I'm talking about people who are called out because, you see, the called out ones, us, if we, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, lived like Christ for a week with love, with compassion, with care, with honesty, with integrity, with hard work and work ethic, we would turn this world upside down. If we did it for a week, if we did it for a month, if we did it for a year, can you imagine what would happen if every Bible-believing Christian in America for 1 year lived like they were really more willing in doing what God wanted them to do than what their flesh told them to do? Could you imagine what this culture would look like? It would be totally different. So quit blaming the guy out there or the Republicans or the Democrats or whatever. Quit blaming them. It ain't their fault. It's your fault. Amen. And it's time for us, the Church of Jesus Christ. Come on, I told you, I just skipped it. I've got a dream. We can change the world if we will accept what God has for us. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Would you stand to your feet and honor God's word? Man, I'm trying not to go all off here. But you will receive power. Come on, everybody read this with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Can we read that again? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Father, I pray that today you would speak to us and cause our ears to hear what the called out ones are to be. Thanks. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So this past week, I'm up early. Come on, I'm going to tell you, I'm stoked about this message. I'm up early. It's 5 a.m. I'm thinking in my head about this sermon, what I want to say, how I want to say it, and I'm up. So then I tell Robin, you can sleep in. I'll get Heather on, you know, off to school. So I get up, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I just went off on her like I did you. It's 6 a.m. She's sitting there trying to choke down a bowl of cereal, and I'm just going off, wouldn't it be great if, you know, we would live for Jesus? And she looks up at the end of my rant and says, Dad, I just want to make a B+ on my test today. And you know what? I just want to tell you, if that's your response, that is your response. I know, because most of us, we just want to get by another day. But I want to paint a dream for you today that your life could matter a whole lot more than you ever thought it could matter, that you can make a difference that would change the world. And at some point, we've got to not only get a B+ on our test, and she got an A, by the way, and not only get an A on the test, come on, we've got to submit ourselves to the greater purpose. So in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place. I like that because the Holy Spirit will never, ever fall upon people that are divided. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It's all right to sit in church, by the way. You can worship sitting. By the way, if your legs hurt and we're singing and you're standing too long, sit down. It's okay. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came and separated and came to rest on each of them. Why tongues of fire? What does fire mean? Listen, fire always in the Bible represents the purity of the Holy Spirit. And when God showed up that day, he wasn't just giving them some power, he was giving them a purifying power. Because what happens to fire? Anybody ever see what happens when a fire hits something? It burns everything to its lowest common denominator, right? It burns out anything that isn't in its core value. It takes it away. And what fire does is it reduces all of the dross in your life. It boils it to the top so that you can be pure gold. It's fire that purifies. And what God wants for us is not just a spirit, but his Holy Spirit to get out all the impurities of our life. Then what happened? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire came and rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can we talk about tongues for a second? Oh, he said it. Yes. Y'all know I am a Pentecostal. I'm a closet Pentecostal. Yes. This is a Pentecostal church. That means that there's been a lot of ado made in our fellowship, in our background, in our world about that tongues thing. Can I talk to you about tongues for just a second, okay? What I want to talk to you about is not tongues, because I really don't give a rip. That's like the muffler on the car. If I buy you a car and I get you a car and I give it to you and I say, here, go drive this car, and it's got no engine in it, but it's got a muffler that makes a bunch of noises. Or how about this? How about a stereo? It's got the biggest stereo with thumping bass, but it's got no engine in it. What good is that car to you? All it does is make a bunch of noise and doesn't get you from point A to point B, right? So you got your car thumping, but it don't go nowhere. That's what you call. Anyway, so that's a problem, is it not? All right, what we're worried about, what I've heard for years and years and years, we got lots of kids going off to church camp, and they come home, and they get there, and one of them's saying, oh, let go, and another one's saying, hold on, and another one's shaking his head. My son's home. I get to mess with him. Anyway, all that's going on, and they're like, repeat after me. Who stole my Hyundai and tied my bow tie? What? Who stole my Hyundai and tied my bow tie? No, all they want you to do is mumble a few words, and what happens is we got a lot of kids that go to church camps, and they talk in tongues at an altar, and they get up, and all they got's a stereo. All they did is made some noise because they don't have an engine. I'm going to tell you something. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is the engine that drops in your car. And you may be all right with some little... When I was a kid growing up, I had a Datsun 310. It had four cylinders in it, and I think one of them worked. And I would drive down the road, and you could hear it coming. I don't want that kind of engine. You know what I want? I want one of those big old Hemis. Boom, 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 boom. You know, when you smash on the gas, the whole neighborhood shakes. Come on. Anybody ever driven a car like that? I've done 160 mile an hour in a car before. I know what it feels like. Don't ever do that. I was on a racetrack. Oh, come on. There is nothing more fun than the pedal to the metal and the engine. Brum, right? Right? Because the engine gives you the power to get where you want to go. And what we've done in Pentecost is we've talked all about the tongues, and I want us to talk about Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit... I want God to drop an engine in your car. By the way, if you're all worried about what's going to happen, let me tell you something. I've never heard a good, Hemi with an oversized cam. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever sit in it and you hear them, they mash on the gas, and the whole neighborhood, the rattles of the windows? Come on, anybody like that other than me? Say amen if you like that kind of stuff. All right, there are some of you. Listen, nobody ever told an engine like that you can't make noise, because if you've got an engine with power, it will make noise. What I'm concerned about is we're all worried about the stereo rather than worried about the engine. And what I want is this power of the Holy Spirit to be available in your life so we don't have to worry about your stereo. We give you some power. So what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. Now, can I go theological in here? Y'all gonna let me go theological? Let me get highly theological here. When you get saved, when you give your heart to Christ, if you give your heart to Christ, the Bible says before you give your heart to Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Everybody understand that? Dead. That means you did not have the Spirit of God in you. Now, this represents the Spirit of God, this water, and this is you, okay? So, if Jesus Christ, you're born again, you're born not of the flesh, but you're born of the Spirit, because everyone born of God is born by the Spirit of God, quoting Scripture here, all right? So what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and you are filled with the Spirit. Now, I wanted a water hose, because the Holy Spirit is an endless supply, not just a little pitcher, okay? But I had to be careful here. All right, so this is you. Let's talk about you. If the Spirit of God has renewed you and given you new life in Christ, you are as full of the Holy Spirit as you're ever going to be. You're full. That's the reason the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control, against such thing there's no law, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit can be evident in people who are born again. Also, there are gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that talks about mercy and leadership and some other giftings that are given to people that are the Holy Spirit living in you. In Acts chapter 2, the same 120 people that were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost were the same people that in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is after his death, burial, and resurrection. So they were already saved. They were already filled with the Holy Spirit. And we got lots of denominations, a lot of cultures, and a lot of church people that say, "This is all I want." And if this is all you want, then you can live a good, godly Christian life. And that's fine if that's all you want. But the problem is, if this is all you want, you're missing a gift that Jesus promised you. Because what Jesus promised on the day of Pentecost to those people who were already filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is how they changed culture. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit started pouring into them. And what happened when the Holy Spirit started pouring into them? They started pouring out on everybody around them. I have a dream, and the dream I have is that we would not just be good people that get by ourselves, but we would actually make a difference in this world and turn a culture upside down. And how you do it is when you stop being just you filled with the Spirit, and you allow the Holy Spirit to pour into you, to overflow out of you onto the world and onto your kids and onto your coworkers and onto your spouse. And come on. So what God has for you is more. Thanks. Let me. I did? Good. I was trying, son. I was trying. Let's give my lovely assistant a hand today. All right. Now, so what's happening here is what's going on is this Holy Spirit is available. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 5. That's what happened. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Now, a lot of people have gone off and said, you know, it's got to be tongues, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to talk to you about that. What I want to talk to you about here is this. The power of the Holy Spirit, when you put an engine in the car, it makes some noise, right? And if you've ever heard one of those guys rev, everybody turns and looks. Am I correct? All right, the Holy Spirit in your life is going to attract some attention to you. It's going to happen. The power of the Holy Spirit starts working through you. People are going to know you're a little weird and a little different. It's all right to be. Do you know it's all right to be a little weird? I look at this culture, and I want to be weird. I don't want to be like them. Broken in debt and insecure the rest of my life? No, I want the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Make me secure and strong and stable and viable to help everybody else out rather than always being about me and I got to go to another counselor to deal with me. I'm painting a vision of what life could be like if we would step outside of ourselves. Now, we need the people who are filled with the Spirit and character, and I'm telling you, it is not all right for you to be a person without character. You must develop the character of the Holy Spirit in your life, but you also need an overflowing. Wouldn't it be great on your workplace? Well, let me talk to you about what the content of the Holy Spirit is. Let's Acts 2:12. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." I love that because anytime you start doing something for God, people are going to make fun of you. You know that, right? You start acting weird, people are going to start telling you, "You're weird. I can't believe you go to church. I can't believe you read your Bible. You pray. I can't believe that you don't do." Right? But I tell you what, I've done some of what they told me they couldn't believe I didn't do, and every time I did it, I wished I wouldn't have done it. And so all you're missing is a heartache. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. And he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And the joke I like to make is we don't do that till 9 at night." Anyway. So what is the purpose of this Holy Spirit? The purpose of the Holy Spirit. I have done my research. Years ago, I was questioning all this Holy Spirit stuff. So I went back and I found out, well, presupposition. God does not change, right? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, forever, right? I am the Lord your God. I do not change. So God doesn't change, right? So if it were true in the Old Testament, it needs to be true in the New Testament. We find every part of the New Testament is prophesied in the Old Testament, right? Right? So God's not making this up as he goes. He has a plan from the beginning, right? So if there was a Holy Spirit baptism in the New Testament, what is the purpose of it? Can I find that out by looking in the Old Testament? So I went through the Bible, and I looked up every instance in the Bible where the word Spirit was used, and I documented the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament to help me understand what this New Testament filling of the Spirit was supposed to look like. Everybody understand? The Old Testament tells me what it's supposed to look like, so in the New Testament, when I hear they were filled with the Holy Spirit, I've got a better understanding. So I ran across all these people in the Old Testament that were filled with the Spirit, and they fell neatly into three categories. And the three categories they fell into was, first of all, leaders. What do leaders do? Leaders are people like this guy named Gideon. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. Now, let me explain the scenario where this happened. Gideon was in a pit threshing wheat. Now, if you know anything about threshing wheat, what you do is you take the wheat, you beat it, and then you pick up the wheat, you throw it in the air, and the wind comes along and sweeps away all the chaff and the undesirables, and just the wheat kernels that are heavier falls to the ground. And the way to thresh wheat and to make it good, other than that, you're eating all the nasty stuff, so you got to throw your wheat up in the air, and the wind will come and blow away anything that isn't appropriate. Y'all understand it? Where was Gideon doing this? In a wine press pit. He's down in a pit underground. Is there any wind in a pit? He was just in there wasting his time. Why was he doing that? Because he was afraid, because these Midianites were coming and they were overthrowing the land, and anybody that had any food, they would come beat you up and take your food away because they were bullies. So what was he doing? He was afraid to cause a cloud of dust, so he was doing it in a pit so nobody would see the cloud of dust. So you can imagine him in there choking with all the dust, and it's not doing any good. And he's hiding, and he's scared. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. It says the Holy Spirit of God came upon Gideon. Now, this is an interesting phrase in the Old Testament. What it means is the Holy Spirit reached down and grabbed Gideon like a coat, and he put Gideon on like a coat. So the Holy Spirit came inside of Gideon and put him on like a coat. And what did Gideon do? What did he do? Come on, what did he do? He made some noise, didn't he? He blew a trumpet. I used to play trumpet, you know. Da, 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 da. Oh, sorry, that goes back to my trumpet days. I used to play trumpet, yes. Well, I played at a trumpet. I made a lot of noise. My mom would say, "You're not practicing that thing in the house. Go outside." Why? Because trumpets aren't quiet, right? And I'd go out in the back porch and I'd sit there, da, 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 and you know what would happen is all the dogs in the neighborhood, "Arr!" Why? Because trumpets make noise, am I correct? You cannot hide and blow a trumpet at the same time, am I correct? You cannot hide. Any trumpet players? Y'all know what I'm saying? Say amen if you know what I'm saying. You cannot hide and blow a trumpet. And here's a guy who is scared to death that goes from hiding in a pit to get a couple of handfuls of food to blowing a trumpet and calling an army together, and he led people to defeat the Midians. How did that change happen from hiding in a pit to blowing a trumpet? The Spirit came into him, and he became a leader. There are other leaders, you know, like Moses. There are other leaders. You know, could you imagine being a leader like Moses? How about a leader like David? Filled with the Spirit. Come on. The Bible clearly states that these people are filled with the Spirit. And come on, you know what your guys' school needs? I'll tell you what your school needs. They need some men and women of God who will become leaders, divinely called by God, to say, "I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it God's way." Isn't that what you need on your workplace? Isn't that what you need in your house? All right, second of all, there's the prophets. What are prophets? Prophets are people that proclaim God's word to the people of God. They proclaim God's word. God's word. So, a perfect example. Can I go all crazy on you? Anybody remember Benny Hinn? Anybody remember Benny Hinn waving his coat and the thousands of people fall down? Anybody remember that? That big swooning, falling stuff that was happening? 20 years ago, that was the big deal. Everybody falls down. So I decided from this verse, here's what we're going to do. It said, he spoke to me, the Spirit came into me and raised my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. So what we're going to do is we're going to have everybody lay down on the floor. We're going to pray on them, the Holy Spirit's going to pop you up like Pop-Tarts. Sorry, just twisted moment, that's all. I read the Bible differently than all the rest of you, I'm sorry. No. I'm not worried about all that crazy stuff that goes along. Here's what happened. The Holy Spirit came into Ezekiel, and Ezekiel began to take a stand and speak the words of God, and he prophesied things that are amazing in the Bible that God actually fulfilled. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up because the Holy Spirit came into him and filled him. And the other prophets who spoke the word of God with boldness and clarity, and they encouraged and they rebuked and they gave life. Wouldn't it be great in your household the next time one of your kids said a knucklehead comment instead of you coming back with, well, I said so, the Holy Spirit came into you and gave you the exact words to say at the right time to make a difference in their world? Come on, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be great on your workplace instead of that same old knucklehead, you know, gossiping about everybody at the water cooler and talking bad about everybody? The Holy Spirit gave you the word to say to shut that knucklehead up and to change the attitude of the office? Come on, what we need is we need the Holy Spirit gifts, not just for us in church. We need them for the marketplace so that our world would listen to the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'd quit thinking like everybody else in the world and start thinking like God wants you to, if the power of God would enable us to speak his words. How about the last one? And this is the one I think we need the most, is the priest. Now the passage is, it's from a story about Aaron. Can you hit the next slide for me, please? The next slide is a priest. And Numbers 16:47. So Aaron stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. Aaron was a priest divinely ordained by God to be someone who stood between the dead and God's power and connected the two to bring life. We need some people. Let me dream. Wouldn't it be great, instead of praying, dear Jesus, bless him, we might actually pray something that you knew you were touching the hand of God to release the power of God into somebody's life rather than saying, oh, Lord, bless him. What the world does bless him mean anyway? Come on, wouldn't it be great if when you were praying, you knew you were talking to God and you knew the power of God was going to be released on the situation instead of the same old, same old, same old. And we're weak in our culture because we've lost the power of intercession because everybody is so consumed with your life, nobody wants to intercede for anybody else's life. And we need some people filled with the Holy Ghost, bubbling out in prayer so that you actually make a difference in this world. And when you pray, the powers of heaven listen and the darkness of this world is scared of you getting down on your knees. There is a power in prayer that we've lost because we're praying in our flesh rather than in the power of the Spirit. I've spent this entire time trying to convince you that there's a different way. This culture's way is not working. Church culture isn't changing it because we're all just content to be good people. We need the power of the Holy Spirit bubbling out of our lives to make a difference in this world. And if that happens, the world gets turned upside down. The same power that was on David that killed Goliath could be in you. I don't think you got that. You face Goliaths and big problems all the time. The same power could be in you. What if you approached your life's problems not in your power, but in the power of the Spirit? What could God do? Then why are we content to simply live with a good sound and stereo and no engine? You should get an amen from somebody. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. I don't like it when he yells at me. I'm sorry. I can't help. I'm football coach today, all right? I'm just in my coach mode. I once was coaching a team. I was coaching them. It was halftime. We had a chance to win that game. And those girls, I looked at the girls and I said, do you think we can win? Two of them said, no. I knew we weren't going to win. You know why I knew we weren't going to win? They didn't believe. So you know what we did every practice the rest of this season? We started running sprints. And every time they left the line, they had to yell, I am not a loser. Now, I'll line you all up on the back wall, and we'll run sprints all day long. I am not a loser. Why do you think you got to be a loser like everybody else in this world? God Almighty is offering you the power of heaven to make a difference in your world, and you're content to sit there and look at me and say, I don't like it when he yells at me. All the power of God is available that you can make a difference in the world. You don't believe it? Let's read it. I'll give you the content. I got to do this fast. Y'all ready? Listen fast. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. All right, so remember, the Pentecost, power of Pentecost available, all those people in the Old Testament, the leaders, the priests, the prophets. This was what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'm not going to handpick a few. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on who? Come on. All people. Everybody. All that same, the same power that was available to David is available to you today. On all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Wouldn't that be awesome? If instead of repeating Shakira lyrics or, you know, Taylor Swift, what if they spoke the words of God in prophecy instead of singing that same old garbage on the radio? Come on, parents, would you like to hear your daughters prophesy instead of talking like the rappers of this age? Wouldn't you love to hear your sons prophesy instead of talking like every other, yeah, I was able to get her in bed. Wouldn't you love it? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm getting old. So this entire time, I've been talking to you about a dream, right? I got a dream. Come on, I've got a dream. We could make a difference in this community, in this world, us. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You see, what the prophecy is this, is that that power that was available to Ezekiel, that was available to Aaron, is available to you. And some of you in this place, you have a calling to intercession. You have a calling to take up the mantle of intercession, and you're running from it because you're afraid of what it will cost you. And I want to tell you, God needs to drop a super Hemi engine into your spirit, so when you bow your knees, you're not just praying anymore. The windows of hell are rattling. Acts 2:32, God has raised this Jesus to life. Listen to the content. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. Notice that? Remember all the way back at the beginning, you will be witnesses. You won't do witnessing. You will be witnesses. God has raised this Jesus to life. And this is the same guy, by the way, that denied Christ three times in a servant girl, a slave girl. And he says, you're witnesses. Exalted to the right hand of God. In case you're wondering whether God's got power, whether you're wondering whether there's enough power, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out on us what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? And Peter replied, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Last Wednesday night, we baptized 7 people in this church. We received 20 new members into this church. In this year, we've seen 36 people baptized, and over half of them have been saved and given their hearts to Christ here at Harvest Ridge within the last year. What I'm telling you is what we're praying for is happening, and if we will devote ourselves to it, come on, there were multiple felonies got baptized the other night. There have been multiple felonies baptized, and people who are going to spend their life in prison now are going to live their life raising godly men and women for Jesus Christ, and that happens not in our power, but in the power of the Spirit, and you can't tell me that doesn't make a difference to their kids. He said this, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. Everybody do this. Take a finger. Come on. Take a finger up in the air. Stick it right in your chest and say me. This promise is for? It's for you. It's for you. It's for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Listen, I know there are weirdnesses in Pentecost. I'm going to ask you to forget the weirdnesses of Pentecostals today, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And our worship team and prayer team is going to come. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to God, say, God, drop a Hemi into my life. Give me a big old engine. No, I tell you what. Give me one of those engines like they have on those top fuel dragsters. Oh yeah, give me a top fuel dragster engine in my life that the power of the Holy Spirit would so overwhelm and so overwhelm me and overwhelm my circumstances that when there is a problem, it isn't me that bleeds out, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes the situation. So I'm going to ask you a question. You got a big, big, big yard to mow. Which one of these two do you want? Put that up. Which one do you want? You got a big yard to mow. Which one do you want? Nobody in their right mind wants to push that thing, right? Nobody wants to. I once had to mow a 2-acre yard, and I had a push mower, a 20-inch push mower. It took me all day long to do it. I did it for $15. The guy I filled in for had one of those riders, and I'm going to tell you, he could do it in about 30 minutes, and it took me all day. Some of you, you're mowing your life, and you're just going through, and you're working, and you're working, and you're working, and you're working, and you say, I just can't get it. I can't get over the hump. This Christian life's too hard. I can't do it. And I want to tell you, God's got some power tools for you, just waiting to give you some strength to move ahead. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me this morning. First thing, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, come on, you need to be filled. You need to be saved. If that's you and you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ today, wave at me real hard right now. You want to give your life to Jesus. Come on, the first step to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit is giving your life to Jesus. Anybody in the room? Then the second thing we're going to do is we're just going to pray a prayer. If you want somebody to pray with you, we've got our prayer team up here. They're going to sing a song. If you want to come to the front, come kneel down. All I ask is just don't run out. Give me 3 minutes, all right? Can y'all give 3 minutes? Would you just lift up your hands right now and say, Lord, I need your power. I need your power. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Come fill me right now in this place. Lord, I want that power engine in my life. I don't care what happens. I don't care how the world thinks I'm weird. I want the power of the Spirit right now. And in the name of Jesus, would you fill us in this place? As we sing this song, if you want somebody to pray with you, come on up. There are people up here. Make an altar right where you are and just ask for that fullness in the name of Jesus.